Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 7 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Unfortunately, this morning, Mawlana Ibrahim Bam will not be joining us. He's out of the country once again. And hopefully he should be back next week for the program. In his absence, we have arranged another program for you, keeping in mind the 16 days of activism against women and children abuse, which usually takes place between the 25th of November and the 10th of December. It's a worldwide international campaign where people highlight the importance of these people in our lives and also the atrocities meted out to these people. And in this regard, we've got life coach Sister Razia Muhammad, who will be joining us for this program, and inshallah we'll be tackling the issues with her. Sister Razia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Thanks for having me on air again, Habib.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated. Just a brief overview of today's program, what we'll be inshallah discussing.
Today we'll be discussing emotional and mental abuse in children and in women, etc. It is very important because women are the teachers of the home, and I and other people in my field are on a mission to teach people to respect themselves and to respect others. So we will be highlighting emotional abuse, the causes, the symptoms, and how to deal with it when you are affected by this affliction.
Yes, emotional abuse it is with regards to children and women. That's what we'll be discussing today. The SMS line to the program, 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International, and this morning we are tackling activism against women and children, the abuse that takes place against them. Sister Razia, let's start off with the basics, and inshallah we'll first look at the category of children and then move on to the women fraternity. So let's define emotional abuse for children. What's emotional abuse when it comes to children?
Emotional abuse on children is when you have your own insecurities and then you force them onto your children, meaning that by emotionally abusing them, where you put them down or you don't acknowledge their accolades, you create low self-confidence, you create low self-esteem. And the result of that is you create an adult with low self-esteem because it's a ripple effect. And what will happen is whatever they go through in life, they will never feel good enough. They will always feel inadequate. So the key is always to praise your child for whatever their accomplishments are.
Very interesting you mentioned our own insecurities that rub off on them. Tell me more about that.
You see, we are all products of our childhood. Each and every one of us are products of our childhood. So what we have experienced in our lives from the time we were born till however old we are is stored in our subconscious mind. So our reactions to conflict will always be the same because that is what we term as normal. Because your definition of normal and my definition of normal will not be the same because we have grown up differently. So what we do is whatever was done to us, we tend to do to our children, or if we are a caregiver, we tend to do to the children that is in our care. And what happens with that is the ripple effect goes on and on and on until we realize what we are doing and we change ourselves. Because the only constant thing in life is change. That's the only constant thing in life is change. And you cannot change anyone else. You can only change yourself. So by changing yourself, you change your world.
That's a very interesting what you mentioned. Now tell me, why is it so important for children to have emotional stability?
It is important because it basically affects their entire life. And then they go on to penetrate it into society as such. So when I find, in my life coaching experience, when I find children that are bullied, when I find that they are abusive, when I find that they are physically or verbally abusive in the environment, usually it's learned behavior or it's acting out dominance at the home, which they feel that they need to act out outside, or it would be very deep-rooted abuse, all of those kind of things. Because as I mentioned earlier in one of your programs, is that nobody gets up in the morning and decides that this will be my behavior. There are certain aspects that will go on in the child or in the adult world that will make them behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting indeed. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Or alternatively, you could WhatsApp on 072-786-1548. We are speaking to life coach Sister Razia Muhammad, and we are discussing emotional abuse and specifically with children this morning. And thereafter, inshallah, we'll move on to the women fraternity. Sister Razia, what are the signs of emotional abuse in children?
The signs of emotional abuse will be when they don't want to interact with others. That's one of the signs. When they, as I said, display verbal or physical abuse towards other children or adults. And when they display antisocial behavior. They cry a lot, they throw tantrums because they're not able to express themselves verbally. And the thing is, there are four types of abuse: physical, sexual, emotional, and mental abuse. And with physical and sexual abuse, you are able to see the scars. So you basically go to the appropriate authorities, doctors or hospitals or whatever it may be, and you sort yourself out. But with emotional and mental scars, the scars go deep into your soul, which is not visible to the naked eye. So that is why only when we hit emotional and mental breakdowns do we decide that we need psychological help, basically.
And I would say that those wounds are far much deeper than the physical wounds.
Most definitely. I agree, because those wounds manifest itself every day in our lives without even us realizing it. And what we do, what we tend to do, is we say that it's fine. I cannot see whatever is going on around me and I'm able to deal with it. But what we do is we bury it deep in our subconscious minds. And then every time we come up with a curveball or a conflict that reminds us of that certain circumstance that we have gone through, then our reactions are the same. So if you are a person that shouts and screams, that's what you will do. If you are a person that retreats into their own corner, that is what you will do. So those are signs to look for in children, where you would actually know that they are emotionally abused.
Let's do a quick experiment. Suppose a person is to tell his or her son, every morning, you are no good, you are hopeless. What will be the psychological effect of that on the child?
The psychological effect is so deep. I think I've told the story on air before, but I'd like to just repeat it for a minute. A child drops something on the floor, and your first reaction is to say, you stupid, you will amount to nothing. Basically, you're not good enough. So in under a minute, you have actually made your child believe that they will not amount to nothing, they are not good enough, and they are stupid. So whatever accolade they do attain in their lives, they will always believe that they are not good enough because somebody that they trust has told them that. Now the same scenario is a child drops something on the floor, and you say, well, that was silly, let's clean it up together. So in under a minute, you have taught your child responsibility. You have taught your child that they must clean up their mess in life. And you have taught your child that they will never be alone. Because even if there is no physical presence, a lie is always there. So in under a minute, you have taught your child self-confidence, self-assurance, and that they are never alone. So they say that 80% of of deductions, well, I would say 100% of deductions are made from assumptions. And also, your tone is so important. Because it's not what you say, it's the way that you say it that will have the impact.
Let's reverse the scenario and take a positive angle and suppose that same parent says to the daughter, to the son, you are such a wonderful child, I believe in you and I really have strong hopes in you.
Okay, that could possibly go two ways. That could possibly go in a very positive way in the sense that your child will fly. Because your child will believe that I can do anything. So your child will really fly and your child will excel in whatever they do. Yet, also, the pressures are a lot as well. Because they are afflicted with outside influences as well. And they could say that my mom or dad has high hopes for me. So I need to live up to those high hopes and high expectations. So I would say that instead of saying that, you can rather say, be your best you. Be the best that you can be. And that does not necessarily mean that you have to be the best at everything that you do. You just have to be your best.
Interesting indeed. And part of emotional stability is to treat every child equally. What happens is that suppose the parents have two children or three children and one child might be a special needs child. So in a case like that, a lot of attention is given to that special needs child and the other children are kind of neglected and they also find that vacuum and as a result they are detached from the parents. How do we draw the balance there and keeping the emotional stability intact?
Yes, that is true. Usually what parents tend to do is they focus on the child with the problem because they obviously think that the other one does not need my help because he or she is managing quite fine by himself. So what we as parents need to do is we actually need to draw up a mental timetable in our minds to say that a certain amount of my time in my busy day is for A. A certain amount of time is for child B, a certain amount of time is for child C. Even if you have to just ask your child, how was your day and what did you do and was everything okay? So you have to, if the child that you think is managing by himself or herself, obviously everybody needs an encouraging hand or an encouraging word. So I would suggest to parents that they take time out individually for each child to be able to see what is going on in their world. Also, you need to make yourself accessible to your child. So if you are the sergeant or the Hitler in your child's world, there is no way that they are going to come to you when they are faced with an issue or a problem in their outside dynamics. So you need to find the balance between being your child's friend and your child's parent. There needs to be a fine line. You can't be too cool as well when they don't take you seriously, and you can't be too much of a sergeant or a person in life that's so authoritative that they feel I cannot go to her or him. He will shout me. He will hit me.
Let's look at some different settings there. And as in some cases, we find that the eldest child sees life very differently as compared to the youngest one. The last born is basically the spoiled one that gets most of the attention and basically the apple of the eye. Obviously, because of that baby coming last and etc., those attachments are there on its place. But how do we control the emotional stability and we see that we equally distribute it amongst all our children?
You see, generally we see life as we are. We don't see life as it really is. Because you see life according to how your mind is conditioned, basically. So, when you had your first child, you were young, you were naive, you were possessive of the child, you wanted everything to be perfect, you were very much a people pleaser at the expense of the child. So you were very authoritative in your way of dealing with the child. Now when child number three comes along, you're much more relaxed. You don't worry too much about what people have to say, and your attitude is different. So what we need to do is we need to make the oldest one understand that I was different at that point in my life. It had nothing to do with you.
Hmm.
I was different. So I was a different parent at that point in life. But now that we have child number two or child number three, I would like to include you in the bringing up of that child, in the sense that now we're going to make it easy for you.
Subhanallah. And I think also an easy way to win them over is to include them in the daily rituals, like for example changing the diapers. You ask the elder one to help you out.
Yeah, to actually make that child, like you non-verbally say that you are in charge of your younger brother or your younger sister, but not in a way where you place too much responsibility in them.
Mm.
You choose the fun activities, and you include them in the fun activities.
Mm. We are speaking to life coach Sister Razia Muhammad, and we are busy discussing emotional abuse and the emotional trauma that children face, and how we can overcome this, inshallah, being the month of 16 days of activism against women and children abuse. So the lines are open, 011-854-1548, or alternatively 4885 or 0727-86-1548. And being in these few days of activism, we should just try and ask ourselves a few questions while we are driving or commuting to work. What's our relationship like with our children and our significant ones? Is there room for improvement? Can I do better? Where can I improve on? There's always room for improvement, I'm sure. And inshallah, if we are honest to ourselves, we will be able to make the difference in our children's life, inshallah. But if we always say, no, I'm spending time, I do get them toys, I do see them on the functions, I think I'm good, then you are closing the door to progress. Nobody can reach success, because success always changes and always progresses day by day. So there's always room for improvement for ourselves. It is a social program on Radio Islam International, and this morning we are speaking to life coach Razia Muhammad, and we are discussing emotional trauma or emotional abuse that's meted out to the children at the moment. We do have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are you Malana?
Alhamdulillah, Jibra.
Alhamdulillah. I got a question for Sister Razia.
Hmm.
I'd like to know some advice, right? Currently, I'm going through a separation with my wife. My children are 5 years, 3 years, and 2 years.
Hmm.
In terms of emotional stress, you know, do children get over this year? And what will be the best way for us to deal with the situation where the children can spend maximum time with both parents, so they don't have this emotional strain and this emotional abuse and mental abuse? Do children firstly get over emotional and mental abuse? And secondly, what would be the best way so that we can assist them, that they can still grow up in a healthy environment?
Mm. Brother, have you been for counseling? That's the first question.
We did try it, due to the circumstances, it's difficult for us to meet on a one-on-one basis at the moment.
Hmm, that's interesting. Okay, so Razia, you can perhaps respond.
Okay, I'll listen to you down here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I would say that first and foremost, you need to take your children for counseling. Myself, as well as other facilitators, do play therapy. Because your children are very young, so they need to do counseling, please. And also, you cannot control your children's destiny. You can only guide them and give them the tools of the mind to be able to move forward productively. So please do not, you and your estranged wife, please do not use the children as pawns in between you and herself to be able to get some points across at each other. Consider the children and consider their well-being. So basically, their emotional and mental well-being is now in the mother and the father's hands. And I would like to say that by the time, by age 14, you cease to have an impact on your child. So if you want your child to be with you in your old age, you need to be with them when they are young. That is what they will remember. And it's not about buying things, it's about giving your time.
Interesting indeed. And I think it's also quite stressing for the children in the sense that now they are confused. Why aren't mommy and daddy together?
Yes.
And why are they staying separately? And unfortunately, like you say, the children are used as a tool between the two parents, and one wants to win the other one over and spoil them with this. And everyone is vying with each other.
It becomes a whole emotional, I'm right, you wrong game with the parents. And unfortunately, this is where the children are affected.
And we've seen rare cases also that after separation, the couples are more amicable towards each other, are more understanding. Yeah. And they realize, hey, we are making it work after divorce and separation. Why couldn't we get it right when we were married?
Alhamdulillah, there are very, very few cases like that, but I have come across cases like that. But 95% of the cases where they just end up blaming each other forever. And it's always about your mom did this, your dad did that. It's always about that. So if we can get it right where we start thinking about the children instead of ourselves, then emotional and mental stability and well-being will be formed within our society.
I think the brother needs to understand that he needs to explain to the children and as well as the wife that they are separating not because of the children. And they should know that they are not the problem, because that's, they are, according to their limited understanding, that's how children think, that maybe the problem is with us. So you need to make them understand that mommy and daddy will no longer be staying together. However, it's not your fault. You are totally innocent. You are free from all guilt. We are just not getting along, so mommy and daddy will not be together. And we need to secure the emotional stability of our children for them to grow up in a good environment so that they can progress. Otherwise, it really eats their peace and their harmony. I hope that answered the question, sir. Gee.
That is so true, because at the end of the day, then they go out there and they manifest whatever is going on the inside. They manifest it to the whomever they interact with in the outside world. And then they are labeled as bullies. They are labeled as aggressive. They are labeled as problem children, when in effect, they are just emotionally and mentally disturbed.
Interesting indeed. Jazakumullah for that, brother. Hope that answers your query. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, Sister Razia, we have spoken quite a bit about children and emotional abuse. Maybe I'll just a concluding remark before we move on to the next topic.
I would say that children are given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an amanat, as a gift. You are not there to control their destiny. They have their own destiny. You are there to guide them. You are there to give them the tools of the mind to be able to face life productively and to be able to make good choices going forward. So we have a very big responsibility. We have a really big responsibility to create an ummah that is productive, that will have leadership skills, that will bring the team forward as well in productive ways, not to be able to be destructive and to be labeled as a nation of violence, a nation of terrorism, etc., etc.
Okay, let's move on to the next point, and that is women, and they are also part of this focus or this campaign for the next 16 days that will be taking place across the country and also in other parts of the world. Let's start off again with a simple basic understanding of what is emotional abuse when it comes to women.
Emotional abuse when it comes to women is when people use women as doormats, as stepping stones to be able to elevate their self-esteem and their confidence. As I mentioned earlier in the program, when you make a choice to abuse someone, it's actually you need to look and introspect within yourself. What is my insecurity? What is within me that I am allowing myself to abuse this person? And a person that is used to being put down, that is used to having low self-esteem, that is used to having low self-confidence, will allow this behavior to continue. Hence, we term it emotional and mental abuse.
Yes, now that you understand what is emotional abuse, how do we then look out for emotional abuse in a relationship? How do we know that this person has been emotionally abused?
Well, the signs that someone like me would look at is where the body language will say everything. When you have your shoulders slumped, when you're always looking down, there's various things that I can basically look at a woman that will tell me she is emotionally abused. But generally, the way out with somebody that can see it is when they constantly themselves down. They don't believe in themselves. When they are physically, sexually, emotionally, or mentally abused, they will actually blame themselves.
Mm.
They will say that, what have I done? I have done something in order for this person to do this to me. So they make the perpetrator totally blameless.
Mm.
And what would happen is, generally, when a person is narcissistic, a narcissist is someone that chooses women that he, or men that he thinks are weak-willed. And what he does is he chooses these people, and then he chooses to mentally and emotionally abuse them. Because what happens is, when he does that, he feels powerful.
Mm.
He feels control. And he feels like that he has won someone over. I'm the puppet master, you are the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, what has happened in women's lives is, from a very young age, they are conditioned to believe that they must be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
They are conditioned to believe that they have no value.
Mm.
They are conditioned to believe that they should not respect themselves. They should just be listening to the person that is in power as such.
Mm-hmm. 011-854-1548, alternatively 0727-86-1548. Those are the numbers to keep in mind. I think one exception that we have to make when it comes to emotional abuse in a relationship, that when couples are arguing, it is expected of things to get heated up, and they will be yelling and shouting at each other. I think that should be excluded from the emotional abuse, because I think that's quite normal of people to do so. But maybe where we can say that it could be classified as emotional abuse if it's done, for example, on petty issues, and it's done regularly, and it's done almost every day, then that will be classified as emotional abuse. But your normal scenario is, once in a while, when you're having your fight or arguments, if you are shouting and yelling, that shouldn't be part of the emotional abuse. I don't know if it makes sense, Sister Razia.
Yes, that I would agree with that. If the occasional argument, you're getting two people from completely different environments, and suddenly you're putting them together, there is bound to be conflict every so now and again. But it's only considered emotional abuse, as you have stated, when it happens regularly,
mm-hmm.
constantly. And constantly you are put down, and you are made to believe that you cannot make your own choices and you are not good enough. That constitutes emotional abuse.
Okay, the lines are open. 011-854-1548.
Call Mulana Habib Bobat on 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548.
Why is it important for women to have emotional stability in a relationship, Sister Razia?
It's very important for women to have emotional stability, because generally, women are the keepers of the home.
Mm.
And they are the ones that influence future society by their family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for them to have personal emotional stability. Because whatever you are doing, not what you are saying, children learn by what they love.
Mm.
So you can tell them something, but they will learn by your action. So they will become either completely opposite of what you have taught them, or they will become exactly what you want them not to be.
Mm.
So your actions are very important. And there's a very fine line between being passive, meaning being the doormat, someone that everyone can trample on, being assertive, which is the ideal place to be in, because that is when you lead a balanced life. And when you are aggressive, meaning that you jump and you fight for everything that is happening in your life, or at everything that's happening in your world. So the fine line, there's fine lines between being the doormat, being assertive, and being aggressive. So with life coaching, what we teach you is to be assertive. So assertive in a way where you don't upset your family dynamics, but you also don't allow yourself to be the doormat.
Yes. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, ji, brother.
Alhamdulillah. I've got another question for the sister. I'd like to ask, with regards to emotional abuse, right? Do, firstly, if a child has been involved in emotional abuse by her parents, do they get over it? How do they get over it? And what is the best way of dealing with emotional abuse and mental abuse?
Okay, those questions require lengthy answers. So what we will suggest is that after the program has concluded, we'll ask you to call the station and get you in touch with Sister Razia, inshallah.
Okay.
Jazakumullah for that, brother.
All right.
Okay, the lines are open, 011-8541548, 488-55, or 072-786-1548. Sister Razia, coming back to what we were saying, it's the life scenarios and balancing things out. Maybe we can continue from that.
Gee, it's all about a balance in life. If you teach your children, or if women teach themselves by examples from professionals, that they need to have that balance in life. So basically what I'm saying is you need to choose your battles. You can't be fighting for everything that happens in your world. And also, you can't be accepting everything that happens in your world either. You need to decide what battles are worth fighting for and what battles are better left undone.
Here's a message coming through. It reads, Molana, me and my husband separated when my son was just 6 years old. But up to this point, all three kids blame me because I cannot support them financially and feel their father is not at fault because he supports them financially. But he is not at fault even though they don't spend quality time. How am I at fault even though 9 years down the line they cannot register breakup of communication? How do you explain that?
So I would assume that they don't have any contact with their father. Am I right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So, it's easy for children to blame one parent or the other because their family dynamics are upset. And children can be very, very, very manipulative in situations like these. They can play one parent against the other. So the key is for the sister to seek financial help and maybe to make avenues herself for financial help. Otherwise, it's also imperative that the father needs to maintain those children in a manner that they were accustomed to previously, so that there won't be any of the blame game going on there. Because as from the SMS, I'm assuming that it's only finances that plague these children, that continue to, that make them start using the blame game against the mum.
And it's a very regular occurrence, and we find that in most cases the husband is more financially stable than the wife, and the wife is unable to meet up to that financial stability which the husband provides, and the children understand it in the wrong context.
And also, if the husband is Allah conscious, he won't withhold money from the wife regarding the children. He will make sure that he provides for the wife, even if he has chosen to have another family or in whatever the dynamics may be. But his responsibility is towards those children until they are of age.
True.
So that no man can get away from that. He does not need to support the ex-wife, but he needs to support the children.
All right, so we've highlighted many scenarios and many problems also. Let's end of the program with some motivation and some inspiration. In your practice, I'm sure you've came across a lot of positive stories also of how women survived emotional abuse and how they can change, inshallah.
G, I have come across many, many success stories, alhamdulillah. And these are people that have chosen to stay in their marriages, and their marriages are flourishing nicely because they actually started respecting themselves. Mm. It was a shock at first for the spouse, because now I'm being confronted with this same woman with different ideals. And eventually he changed his perception of who she is and decided that I need to elevate this woman's status in my home. And it worked out successfully. And then in other areas where women cannot be in an abusive situation any longer, when they recognize that they are being abused, that is when they come to me. And I teach them assertive behavior, as I said, and they make the choices henceforth. But it all goes on to be productive in the sense that we all are creatures of Allah, and we all need to respect ourselves, love ourselves, and make ourselves important, I would say, within our family dynamics. And when we do that, then we teach children to respect and love themselves. And as we know, for what is going on around in society today, it's actually very scary. So children are taught to respect themselves, to respect their bodies, to respect their minds, not to allow people to manipulate them, etc. And that all of that comes from the home.
Mm. Is it possible to unwire the structure and to unwire it to its default structure as it was in the starting? I mean, if a person has been in an emotionally abused state for the past 15 to 20 years, is it possible to restructure this wiring?
Most definitely. That is actually my expertise, in the sense that I do a process called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short. So what we do is we help you with your subconscious mind, and we actually help you through this therapy to rewire your hard drive, your program, your belief that you need to be in an abusive relationship. So with a series of six sessions, I actually change your mindset, or I help you to change your mindset and become a more positive individual. And alhamdulillah, I haven't had a case yet where someone has told me that you can't help me. I believe that this method is foolproof.
True. So Zarazia, your concluding remarks before we end off on both topics, maybe on the children and the women.
Okay. This has been quite a loaded topic. I can hear from your tone. But the reality that we are facing today, and I am committed as well as other professionals in my field to actually help people change their mindset and to become productive individuals and to help themselves. And in by helping and changing themselves, they will change the world around them, inshallah. Ameen.
Ameen, inshallah. Sister Razia, jazakumullah khairan for your time, much appreciated, and we hope to speak to you in future also, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah for having me, Habib.
Inshallah.
I hope to hear from you soon.
Okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, it's all about making others feel better about themselves, make them feel proud of themselves, make them feel confident about themselves. And as they say, success is not about achieving your goals, but success is rather in making others achieve their goal. That is success. And in there, there's gratification, there's accomplishment. You feel good about yourself and the person in front of you. So you're happy not because you did. You are happy not because of your goals. You are happy because of somebody else's goals, and that's the key to success in life. Is that we shouldn't be all about ourselves only, but rather we should try and share our generosity, our talents, our potentials with others to see them succeed, and by them succeeding, we will also succeed in life, inshallah. So it's all about keeping everybody feel happy about themselves, making them feel confident about themselves, and making them feel appreciated for who they are. If we can get that, inshallah, in our homes, then most definitely we will be producing such leaders which the world will look with the eyes of envy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.